Hi, this is Jane. Welcome to Casinos USA 133rd podcast, Spring Break for Boomers Part 2. Today we're going to talk about four things: South Point Casino Resort, the Mob Museum, Coach Fab's Craps Talks, and the amazing Kentucky Derby with the winner Rich Strike. Let me start with the South Point Casino Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. South Point is a very popular locals casino. In fact, we have a call from a local now.
Hi, this is Jill from Las Vegas, Nevada, doing a trip report on the South Point Hotel Casino. I was a little bit nervous about staying there. I know locals go there a lot. I'm a local. We've gone there to the movie theaters and bowling with the kids, and that's fun. I went there for a convention for CCSD, and they have a great convention area. But I was nervous because I had heard another local say, oh, the South Point, you're staying there? That's where you go when you want to get a free keychain at check-in. So I was a little skeptical after that. My daughter and I stayed the night before Easter, and I have to say that when I went in, check-in was very easy, so that was great, very fast, and we went right up to the room, and I was opening the door. I was kind of holding my breath, thinking, oh, man, I hope it's halfway decent. And when I opened the door, I was very pleasantly surprised. I thought it was a great room. We booked a room that had a king bed. And I purposely did that because I think when you book a room that has a king, you get extra stuff. You know, there's extra room because that second queen isn't in there. And, you know, my daughter and I both aren't very large, so sharing a king bed was no big deal. But we did book a king, and the room was, it did seem very large, and there was extra stuff. So we got these two kind of lounge chairs with ottomans, and I'll say right off the bat that they are the favorite hotel chairs, the best chairs I've ever sat in. So comfortable. So you're out late at the casino floor, and you come up to the room, and you just want to chill. So comfortable. Had a nice little back pillow with it. So I loved the chairs. First thing I noticed about the room was the floors. Not carpet, but wood laminate. And I know some people might say, what? That's so weird for a hotel. But you know what? It seemed very clean. There was no musty odor, stale odor. We were in the non-smoking floor, which, you know, thank goodness. But it was wonderfully clean. And, you know, some people might like to walk on carpet. Well, the South Point gives you these slippers, one pair for each guest at, say, South Point Hotel. And so that was kind of cool, too. I know it's not a big deal. They probably cost them 60 cents each, but it was a nice little gift, I thought. The other major bonus was the refrigerator. Since I am a local and I don't like to spend casino prices on little snacks, I was able to bring some things that I had made at home to snack on, you know, in the evening that needed refrigeration. And had we gone out to eat there, you know, you can take your leftovers up if it's like something chilled, like a salad or a dessert. You can put it in the fridge. So I love that. And creamer for coffee, because they do also have a coffee maker, which is also an added bonus. So you don't have to go downstairs to the Starbucks that they have there if you don't want to in the morning. You can make your own and chill in those really comfy chairs. As far as the casino goes, I'm not a huge gambler. I played the poker machines because I had heard a rumor that If you're going to hit on anything at the South Point, it's going to be video poker. And guess what? I did hit on video poker. Sadly, I never play max bet because I'm way too cheap. But it was nice to win $40. I didn't lose anything, and I made that. So that was cool. All in all, I think the South Point is definitely worth a visit. They also give you a really cool coupon book that we did utilize, and as a local, I can use it until December. My only complaint was that they had a coupon for buy one, get one free at their little ice cream shop that you can get frozen yogurt at, which is one of my favorite things. But the line was so long because everybody was psyched about that coupon. So another day for yogurt at the South Point. But definitely, now I looked, we had a pool view so we could see down to the pool. Very small pool area, so if you're going to hang out at the pool all day, that might not be the hotel for you. But all in all, it was a great experience, and I would definitely stay at the South Point again. All right. Thank you, and today's Sunday, but it feels like a Saturday because I know in Casinos USA, every day is a Saturday. Take care.
Okay, that was a good call. It took away a little bit of my thunder, but at least I think we're in agreement on South Point. I would say the first thing is we had a great check-in. We were a little concerned at first when we drove up to it because the crowds, I mean the traffic, we thought, and it was Easter weekend, so we thought, gee, it's going to take forever to check in here. And the place is so big, what, 1,300 some rooms?
Yeah, 1,300 plus rooms.
Yeah, and we're just coming from a hotel that had 350 some. So it was quite a shock. But we went in, and the check-in was less than 10 minutes, one of the fastest ones we've ever had. So that was great. It couldn't have been any better for that. And we went to the room, and I would say I had the same reaction as the local did. I was shocked. The laminate wood floors were so impressive. The room just looked so good. And I understand that some hotels have done this. One of the first reasons was because of people bringing in pets. They wanted to designate certain areas. Now, I don't know about South Point's thinking, and I don't know if all the rooms have that type of flooring. I didn't ask. But we really liked that the room is definitely cleaner because of those floors. And the slippers are there. You can use them in case you think the floor is too cold for you or if it seems a bit slippy to you. And the fridge was very nice to have. We always ask for a fridge no matter what because you can keep your leftovers in there or you can keep your drinks in there if you want water or you can keep medicines in there if you have to. The coffee maker was a Keurig coffee maker, so much to our delight, because we all know how we love our coffee. And their brand, what they were serving in there wasn't a Keurig brand, but it was okay. But we brought Keurig, actual Keurig cups from my daughter's house, and we also brought half and half from there. So we had really great coffee in the morning and even in the evening. The room was just so comfortable. I can't say enough about it. And also that easy, we only had one easy chair because we had two queens, but it was very, very comfortable. And we didn't really spend that much time in the room to even use it. Okay, on the restaurant scene, they have certainly so many restaurants. They have 9 restaurants, including a Mexican restaurant, an Asian restaurant, a steakhouse, an Italian restaurant, a seafood restaurant. Plus, they also have the garden buffet with breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They have a deli. They have a Starbucks. They have an ice cream parlor. And they have a Krispy Kreme, in which their coupon book, as the caller mentioned, has a buy one, get one free Krispy Kreme, and coupons with various offerings at several of those restaurants. And then I might add, on top of all of that, they have an 11-page menu for in-room dining.
That's available online if anybody wants to check it out. I've never seen any We've stayed at the Wynn and the Encore. I haven't seen an extensive 24-hour room service menu like that. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Right. It's impressive. So I think you'll find plenty of food no matter where you're looking. But one thing I will add, since the there's so many more people visiting Las Vegas now since the reopening after COVID, that you really have to make reservations, especially on the weekends, but even weeknights where at popular casinos, you really should make reservations because the locals are making them too. The locals are also there, not just the guests.
I think it makes sense if you're like at one casino resort and you're going there to make it the day before you get there. That's how important I think it is. If you want to get a reasonable time.
Yeah. A reasonable time. Right. Yeah, you can get them after 8 o'clock at night usually, but you want to make sure you have a reasonable time. Okay, and as the caller said, you get the coupon book, and there's each guest gets a coupon book, so there's plenty of coupons to go around, and they offer free drinks at the bars, different bars, the Krispy Kreme donut, a treat at the ice cream parlor. So there's even $10 off any purchase at the gift shop. There's a bingo pack because they have a big bingo parlor there too. I forgot to even mention that at any time, but they have bingo there. They have the bowling alleys, and they had a bowling tournament going on when we were there. It was kind of cool seeing the team in their jerseys, their shirts for bowling tournament.
Yeah, and the team's bringing loads of fans, too, because we saw groups of people dressed like their team.
Right.
And of course, they have a movie complex.
Oh, the movie complex. And I went in it just to look around a little bit. They have at least 6 theaters. They may have more than that, but I don't know, because I really didn't spend that much time in there.
Well, I think with the movie complex, the swimming pool, and
the bowling alleys,
you could say it's kid-friendly there because there were a lot of kids
there.
Well,
right. And as our local caller said, that they had gone there for bowling and for the movies with their kids. So I think it is a popular place for locals for that, too. Although you do have a walkway through the center of the casino to get to that complex, but it's right up one escalator up, and you're there.
I wanted to talk about the video poker machines that the caller made reference to. If you go there for video poker, you'd be right on, because one of the professional gamblers in Vegas that most people probably know if you're a gambler is Bob Dancer. Can you imagine making a living from playing video poker? Well, he does. And where does he play most often? South Point. The machines have incredible payback numbers, 99.6 paybacks. Every machine I played was a 9-6 machine with a variety of games. And I tell you what, if you're going to hit big in video poker, South Point would be your first choice to try.
Right. Almost every machine I tried was a 9-6 machine, which is, you have to really search for those at other casinos. You might find one in 25 machines that is a 9-6, and we know that has the best pay rate.
The main floor of the casino, they're intermingled everywhere, these video poker machines, and I would say there's hundreds of video poker machines casino.
Probably. There's also a big rodeo complex there. They have something like 156 horse stalls, and now there wasn't, maybe because it was Easter weekend, there wasn't any rodeo events taking place, but they do have horse shows there all the time with a very large auditorium.
I wanted to just say, if you're coming from the eastern part of the country, particularly from an urban area, New York, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, you forget that, when you get into Nevada, you're in the Wild West, and you have Arizona, Utah, parts
of
California, New Mexico.
Right.
So why wouldn't there be horse shows like that?
Wyoming. Yeah, there's plenty of that. Horse shows and bull riding, one of my favorites to watch. All types of competitions are there. So it holds a lot for just about anybody. There's also a spa there, and there are specials every week for different services that are offered at the spa. I just can't say a whole lot too much about it. There's also shows. You know, they have weekly entertainment, and there's almost a show every night. And there's one that's free. There's a comedy show that appears to be free. And then they have headliners that come one every week.
I think it would be really a challenge to wear South Point out. I think you could go there and have a different kind of experience almost every time you went there.
Right, and I think it's worth it just to look around it, to see what you might see. And again, we were a little skeptical about how the rooms might be, but that was a real shocker. They were lovely. I can't say enough about them.
I have to tell you that my first reaction when I saw the floor was, I said, oh, Janie's going to be upset. And then you said, oh, you love this floor.
I don't know why I'd say that.
I didn't expect wood laminate.
Well, I didn't either, but why would you think I didn't like it? We have all hardwood, so I love wood floors.
Yeah, and you could see them as clean them after every use because they were bright, shiny, dust-free.
Carpet soft to walk on, but it's hard to clean.
And the caller said, you know, being a local, that you're going to bring sand into rooms when you live in your own place in Nevada. So hotel rooms that are carpeted are going to pick up the same sand.
Oh, absolutely. It's a desert you're in. So there's sand blowing around. There are sandstorms. The winds, they've had unbelievable spring with the windstorms. We know we landed in one and it wasn't easy. But that's our take on South Point. We think everybody ought to give it a try.
Well, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about, I think let's share this one, the Moth Museum.
Right.
Okay. Just a break and we'll be right back.
Okay, the Moth Museum. We'll start by saying that it's right off, if you're on Highway 15, it's right off that exit. It's in the Fremont downtown area of Las Vegas, the Fremont Street area. My daughters lived there for about almost 12 years, and it's one spot she really, really wanted to go see. She's heard everybody talk about it. I was shocked, actually, when we went there to see how crowded it was. There were so many visitors there.
And the visitors were of all ages. That was
right. All ages and all nationalities. I mean, I was just really, really surprised at that.
And being of Italian descent, I thought it was going to be about Italians only, but it wasn't. And that's why I think a good place to start with this idea of the Mob Museum.
Right. It was about all the mobs that had formed, and they were the Chinese, the Irish, and the Jewish, to mention a few others, plus the Italians. So it wasn't limited to one nationality.
And they also talk about how bad some of these people were. I mean, it doesn't, like, make heroes
out of villains. It doesn't
glamorize it.
It
doesn't
glamorize
it at all.
No, not at all.
But it's very honest. And it also explains how Prohibition really serviced the mobs because it gave them a way to make money.
It gave them a reason, yeah. It gave them a reason for that, too.
And the presentations are interactive. You know, they're video presentations.
It's very high tech for a museum.
It's very high tech. Yeah, you know, that's another thing that makes it more enjoyable.
Right. It's also a popular wedding site now.
You better explain that.
Well, people like to get married there. There's a courtroom where some of the actual trials took place in that actual room, and that's where the wedding would take place. And you can reserve it. And many people do. As I said, it's just a really popular place. And it is a nicely restored old courthouse.
Yeah, and the first electric chair in Nevada.
Oh, right, it was there, yes.
We all sat in it. Oh, my, talk about crude.
Well, no, it's very historic, really.
It's the real thing, yeah.
Right, you would be surprised, I think, at how historic it is. As Fab says, it doesn't glamorize any of the mob's activities. In fact, I was shocked at how graphic some of it was.
But to be historically accurate, the mob certainly had a very important role in the growth and development of Las Vegas, Nevada. There's no question about that. It wasn't until the corporations took over the casinos and the federal government cracked down on the mob that they lost their grip, because for decades they controlled Las Vegas.
Right. I was just very impressed with all of that. And then at the end, in the basement, there's a speakeasy, which is quite nice. They also have a sampling. They have their own kind of moonshine. We didn't do the sampling of that. They take you into the room where it's made and all, and you get samples. But we did go to the speakeasy, and we did order one of their charcuterie trays, which was very nice. I would also call it like an antipasto tray.
Yeah, and I tell you, going to that speakeasy was really almost like time travel because it's authentic.
Oh, right.
It's like being in downtown Chicago during the Prohibition.
Yeah, they've done it. They've done a really great job. Whoever designed it all and decorated it all. And I didn't look at all the plaques to see who had done all that. But we had, what did we have? We had espresso. It was really, really nice.
Yeah, they have quite a menu there. You know, you're not expecting it at a museum tour.
Yeah, it was just, it made you want to sit down and do that. You just felt like you should do that. And it was very comfortable.
So Coach Fab and Janie both agree, if you can fit into your schedule the trip to downtown to the courthouse to what's called the Mob Museum, definitely do it. It's well worth it.
Right. And you can also just walk to it. If you're on Fremont Street, you can see it from a side street. And I can't remember which street that is, but I think El Cortez might be on that corner or the Grand or something. There's a couple. But you can look right over and see it, and you can walk. It isn't that far of a walk.
No, and I'd say if you wanted to have a tour, you're going to have at least an hour in there. You can take as much time as you want.
Yeah, you can.
But give yourself at least an hour and maybe another 30 minutes or so in the speakeasy.
Right, and they do have a snack area right outside of the courtroom. And they also they take a picture. They have you in when you first go in a lineup type picture. And then you get to see the proofs at this little snack bar, which is about halfway through the tour.
Yeah, that's a kick. I mean, it's really enjoyable, and it's definitely educational.
Oh, yeah, it is. It does many, it's all historically based.
Okay, well, hey, thanks for your help today, Jenny. We're going to go to our ever-popular Craps Talk, and we'll be right back.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, well, welcome to Craps Talk today. This is Coach Fab. We're going to talk about a characteristic personality trait that I admire, and I know I have it, but I also know that it's dangerous when it comes to gambling. So just a little bit about that. And then I'll tell you how my wonderful craps winning streak came to a bitter end on Mother's Day at Hollywood at the Meadows in Washington, Pennsylvania. Ouch, it had to end sometime. But I'll be honest about it. Don't you think that's a good idea?
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
Well, I'm happy that you agree. So let's go first with the character trait that's a good character trait, but it's dangerous when it comes to gambling. Well, you won't hear this everywhere, but in negative expectation casino table games, there's going to come a time when you reach your loss limit. Now, you know, in short, what's a loss limit? Well, it's money you go to a casino with, and it's money you can afford to lose. If you can't afford to lose any money, please don't go to a casino. But, you know, if you're a competitor, and this is a trait that, you know, it's admirable, you're not a quitter. Like, you know, quitting's for losers, right? But not so when you're at a casino and you have a loss limit, because when you reach that loss limit, the best thing you can do is to walk away, come back and fight another day, maybe later the same day. But for a session, you lost your limit. It is time to quit. There's no shame involved. You know, I love this expression by Charlie Frere in his book, Casino Fun 101. The money you don't lose is more important often than the money you win. And, you know, if I would have stayed in the game and lost several more $100, I'd have been so upset. I would have violated one of my core principles, and that's having a loss limit established when I play. So that competitive personality that I hope I have, I hope I'm recognized for it, it's not a good thing when you're gambling. And you just have to tame it a little bit, you know, because if you continue to play when you should stop, you're walking down an alley called problem gambler, you know. So that's what problem gamblers do. They just keep chasing their losses. So never, ever violate your own loss limit, which by definition, again, is money you can afford to lose. And since I did lose, how did that happen? What was I doing to win? What was my winning streak all about? Well, when our spring break for boomers, our Easter vacation, 8 nights in Las Vegas, a couple of those nights were in Henderson, Nevada, just down the road from the Strip, a few miles. We were at the M Resort, of course, and then we went to South Point, which is out of town too, still Las Vegas. But I was chasing sevens on the craps table. I was chasing sevens on bubble crap machines. And so how do I chase sevens? Well, I was playing the don'ts. I was also hopping the reds, which is, you know, means the sevens, particularly if a series started. And I was making cone bets, you know, hoping that I would have a don't pass line bet. And then my first cone bet on the first roll would be a seven. And then I could do it again, you know, because I'm still, I can do it 3-4 times and still break even or make a few bucks. I was hoping if I did have cone bets, they would come back home to me, you know. Now, it doesn't matter what line you're coming from. If you're playing pass line with an odds bet and as much odds bet as you can afford, you know, I don't want to say full odds because sometimes you can't afford full odds. And 100 times odds, no, it's not going to happen, not in my house. And if you're doing it from, if you're laying odds on the dome pass line, those are the best bets in craps. You know, odds bets on the lines are the best bets in craps. And odds bets on the come bet is the best bet in crap. And so is the don't come bet with odds. So, you know, that's what I was doing. But when you make come bets, here's the issue. They're contract bets and you can't take them off. And I was getting one of these situations where, okay, I was on the don'ts and a point number was made. Damn. And a new game started, or the shooter sevened out and a new game started. And the next roll, well, I had 4 comebacks out there, you know. So, bam, here comes a seven. I get my odds money back, but I lost $40 just like that. And that kept happening to me, you know. So what am I going to do? Am I going to, you know, put $40 on the pass line or the dumb pass line on a come out roll? Am I going to hop the reds for 15? I should have, you know. I should have, but I didn't. And that hurt me. That hurt me. And the other thing that killed me, and this is where I'd like to kick myself in the butt. You know, if you do that, you go back and you think about how you played today. And, you know, I'm up $1,100, you know, over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, you get this thing, oh, man, I'm going to keep playing this way. It's bringing me all this money. Well, I should have realized the gig was up, you know, and it wasn't from a computer chip. It's just what the dice are doing. So I would have, say, a combat on the 9 from my playing style. The point was 5, and I'd have a combat on the 4 and the 10 and the 9, right? And the shooter kept throwing 6 and 8s, and it's no help. Why didn't I place the 6 and 8? Why didn't I? And I went, how many 9s? One, and I didn't put the come bet back. They made the 9, and, you know, didn't make the 4 or the 10. But on the other hand, they made, I don't even want to tell you, the 6 and the 8 in this streak 12 times. I didn't make a cent out of it. Come on. So there you go. You know, generally, in before I was chasing sevens, I was going from the don'ts, and then I was placing the 6 and 8. And maybe placing one more number, sometimes playing the Iron Cross from the don'ts, which I think is a good way to play the Iron Cross. And so did Jimmy the Greek, by the way. So I just believe that you get sometimes stuck in a system and you get, like, locked into it. And that's not my style. Like, I like to be light on my feet and adjust, but I didn't, you know. And I hit, oh, geez, it must have been 2 hours, 15 minutes. I was a little bit below even, and all of a sudden, boom, 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 I started getting a little further behind, and suddenly I crossed, by a dollar, I crossed my loss limit, and I just said, that's it for me, that's it, I'm done, I'm human. Sometimes, it doesn't matter what you do, you lose in a negative expectation game, the dice just outsmarted me, as if they could think, but, you know, they just were rolling in a way. And I wasn't betting the way they were rolling. And when that happens, it's not a good time at the craps table. And that's what was happening. So, yeah, Coach Fab can lose. And I'm going to tell you, anybody can lose. I'm willing to discuss craps with anybody. I don't know everything about craps, but I know a hell of a lot about craps. I've been playing, you know, for decades, and I've played different styles in different ways, and there's no betting system out there that assures you'll win every time. And don't tell me dice control, because first of all, I only threw the dice a couple of times. The table was packed. The table was packed, you know? So what are you going to do? Just stand there, like, you know, for 50 minutes before you get the dice again? Come on, dice control. You know, you can influence the dice perhaps a little bit, but you can't control them. And that's the point. So I surrendered. And, hey, I was really happy to learn that my wife was having an incredible day on a slot machine. She put $10 in early. And she said she never trailed. You know, she went through three different machines and never trailed. And that's, you know, those kind of days when you're a slot player, you put in a very little amount of money, and then boom, you play and play and play, and you bring a lot of money home. That was great. So competitive personalities, be careful. I got one. I'm not a good loser, but, you know, I learned to check my aggressive, competitive personality when I'm gambling. If I hit a loss limit, I have to quit. I have to quit the game. I got to walk away. That's a pledge that I made to myself. And I'll be back in craps real soon. Just been a few days since I have played, but I'll be back. I'm going to rest up a little bit, think about it, reflect on it again, and get my energy back. And we'll see if that dice beat me next time. Those dice could beat me next time. All right. And also chasing the sevens, you know, I got to have more flexibilities, because although going from the come is a great way to protect yourself with those sevens on that first roll, but you lose the flexibility because it's a contract bet. You know, as you know, place bets are often the come out. You don't have to tell anybody. That's just how they do it. You have to tell them if you want them to be on, but not with combats. You're losing them if a sevens rolled on a come out roll. And that's the danger of combats. And they're a great way to play craps, but sometimes they just bite you. Okay, we're going to talk about our horse, our very special horse, our horse that lost five consecutive races before the Derby, our horse that was 80-1. Like, who the hell even knew about this horse, all right? Rich Strike. We'll be right back and talk about our friend, Rich Strike. So Rich Strike was an 80-1 underdog, and the fact that he wins the Kentucky Derby shows you that the horse racing has more variables than the experts want to acknowledge. You know, they want to say, oh, no, I know what's going down. But they didn't know what was going down because nobody even knew about this horse, Rich Strike. The record-setting pace of the race, I think, had something to do with it, because Epicenter was the leader that everybody expected to win. It looked like he would win, but he was in a battle for first place. And down the last fur lane, it was nearly exhausted. The two race horses that were battling out, they were both favorites. They had nothing left. And from back in the pack, and brilliantly ridden, Rich Strike works his way up to the rail, finds Overdrive, and moves into history as a Derby winner, passing the favored counterparts beside him with ease. And so you have to say that the way the horse was trained for this race was perfect. He didn't fall for that. The jockey didn't fall for that record pace and stayed back and ran the pace that he knew his horse could handle and still have a lot left at the end. And strangely, the trainer said, you know, maybe this is true, that the horse actually liked, the state of mind of the horse was very positive. He actually liked the track. They got this sense that when they were training him there, that the horse liked the track. So this was an amazing Kentucky Derby, 148 years of the Derby, and an incredible horse called Rich Strike wins at 80-1. How about a piece of that action, huh? And what about the Preakness? Is this going to be an aberration, or is Rich Strike going to be considered a possible winner? You know, that's be interesting to see what the experts say now, right? The Monday morning quarterbacks, what are they going to say now? So I hope you enjoyed the Derby. I thought I was going to win back my craps loss with Epicenter. But just like Mattress Mac, my dream was shattered by an 80-1 underdog. But you know what? I applaud the horse, the trainer, the owner. What an incredible run. Record setting. Hasn't happened since I don't know how many years, 100 years maybe, but holy cow, what a win. And the Kentucky Derby was on a beautiful day for a change. Gorgeous day, and a record upset occurred. Okay, so we come to the end of our show. I really enjoyed the show today. A lot of good information. And South Point, take a look at it. Be serious about it. At least play video poker there. The Mob Museum, definitely go to the Mob Museum. And remember about your competitive personality. Sometimes you got to put it aside when you're gambling. And finally, let's all learn to appreciate what happened at the Derby with Rich Strike. And he'll be back soon for the Preakness, and we'll pick him up from there. Hey, and we at Casinos USA, as our caller said, we never know what day it is because for us, every day is Saturday at Casinos USA. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple of weeks.